Today's title of our sermon today is When God Appoints, He Anoints. And look at this slide. How many of you still use a paper appointment book? I still do. I know most of you use your phone. But if you were to look at this appointment book, you'd see appointments for business appointments, doctor's appointments, hair appointments, appointments to have fun, to meet up with people. An appointment usually means you're going to meet someone somewhere for a specific purpose, to do something. Well, God has divine appointments for you. God has a specific work for you to do at a specific time with a specific person for a specific purpose. And if you don't keep that appointment, you will never accomplish anything for God. And the good news is that every time God gives you an appointment, He also anoints you with the ability to accomplish the task. Last week we talked about this verse. Let's go to Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And last week we talked about the seven steps of salvation, how people take these steps to know Christ as their Savior and Lord. And so in this verse we see that God appoints you. He says, you go and be my witnesses. But in the same time, God anoints us with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to accomplish that task. Maybe that task is for you to teach someone, teach a class. Maybe God appoints you to go contribute to a small group or to sing on worship team. Maybe God wants you personally to become more like Jesus, to get rid of that hurt or that habit or that hang-up that tortures you. And God says, I am going to give you the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, to enable you to accomplish all of those things. God never asks you to do something without providing the way or the means or the provision to meet that need. God's anointing makes the impossible possible. And that's what I want to talk about today, because a lot of people get confused about that word. As I study this, I realize that the word anoint or anointing is very common in the Old Testament. It had to do with the temple sacrifices and the work in the temple. In the New Testament, is not used as much. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And so if you want to pull out your sermon outline, the first point says the Holy Spirit anoints us when we believe. When we believe in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. God marks us as we belong to Him with the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. When you believe, when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, when you commit your life and will to Christ's care and control, the Holy Spirit anoints you. You are born again in the Spirit. That means He enters your life, never to leave again. Once He's a part of you, once He's inside of you, because you believed in Christ, He never leaves. And so what does that mean? The first thing we see is anointing means God owns us. God, we belong to God. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set His seal of ownership upon us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? When you believe in Jesus. When you put your faith in Him, God seals us. He anoints us with the Holy Spirit. It's a guarantee that God owns us, and that a guarantee that we have a place in heaven. We have an inheritance. We belong to God and not to the devil. We belong to God and not to sin and selfishness. So why do you listen to the devil or the sin or selfishness? In fact, we become children of God and we have an eternal inheritance. Now the concept of a seal, when we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, look at this picture. They would have a hard substance like these rings or a stamp made out of stone or metal, and they would have a carving in it, and then when they wrote a letter and they closed the letter, they would melt wax on it, then they would stamp it with this seal. The seal is a sign of authority of the person that stamped it. And so when Jesus was put into the tomb, they rolled that big stone in front of it, they sealed it with a Roman seal saying, this stone is under the authority of the Roman Empire. Okay, but it's just a little piece of plastic, a little piece of wax on the stone, another piece of wax on the side of the tomb with the string going between the two. They broke that seal. They were subject to Roman authority. And we think, well, gee, that wax is nothing. But the authority, the legions of Rome are behind it. So when God seals us, He is saying, He is confirming His ownership of us and His authority in our life. Today we don't have seals like this. We have title. We have escrow. We have deeds. So the Holy Spirit is confirming. He is our guarantee that we can accomplish the work that God gives us. Anointing. Anointing means God is with us. That's a second thought I want to share with you today. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth of the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all those under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. With Him. God is with us. When the Holy Spirit anoints us, God is with us. And because God is with us, we can do good. We can bring hope to people. We can bring healing to people. We can help set free the people under the power of the devil, under sin and selfishness. We don't stand alone. We stand with the Creator of the universe. God stands with us. So God anoints us, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. We can do good. Jesus came to do good. Jesus came to comfort the afflicted, the brokenhearted, those who are enslaved to habits, those who are in debt, those who are blind, those who are hurting. Jesus came to do good for them, and that is our calling. Also, the Holy Spirit anoints us because God is with us. Then thirdly, we see that anointing means the Spirit is in control. It says in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. When you're drunk, I've never been drunk. I don't drink alcohol. I've met a few people who were drunk, and you know, they lose control, right? When they drink that alcohol and it goes into their system, it permeates into every cell in their body. And drinking of wine, the scripture says, leads to debauchery. That means bad behavior. I call it pirate behavior. You know, drinking and fighting and all that stuff. But when the alcohol takes control of your body. Your mind and your emotions and your coordination are all consumed by alcohol. That's why so many people are driving the wrong way on freeways, because they are consumed and controlled by alcohol. So if we're not supposed to be drunk with wine, instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, that means filling means control. The Holy Spirit controls your body, your entire body. And that means we let the Holy Spirit drive. When we get in the car, when we get in our lives, we say, Holy Spirit, You drive my life. The Spirit is able to unleash all our spiritual potential when we allow the Holy Spirit to drive. Now see, this is where a lot of Christians fail. This is where a lot of Christians don't live up to their potential. Because they don't let the Holy Spirit drive. They still want to drive their own life. They still want to kind of do their own things. And so they try to serve God because they know they should serve God, but they serve God under their limited power, under their limited wisdom, and under their own direction. And that leads to failure and frustration as a believer. So you try to do it yourself, you try to live the life you want yourself, and you fail and you get discouraged. The Holy Spirit needs to fill you. That means the Holy Spirit needs to be in control. One way to do that is to practice spiritual breathing. I talked about this before. We need to breathe spiritually every day. That means we exhale, and as we exhale, we breathe out the sin and selfish attitudes that are in us, that pridefulness, that bitterness, that attitude that wants us to get even. And we say, Lord, I know I'm being prideful. I breathe it out. I exhale. And then I breathe in. I take a deep breath physically and say, Holy Spirit, control me. Holy Spirit, I give you my life. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power and presence. So if I am consciously, I become aware that I'm not behaving, I'm not living the life I should. I just breathe, and as I breathe, Holy Spirit, just fill me with your presence. And then as I exhale, I say to the Lord, I confess this sin. I confess the sin of pride. We need to do it every day to make sure that the Holy Spirit is in control. So when God appoints and He gives you an appointment, He promises to anoint you with Holy Spirit power, and that power is in you already. So let's go to our second thought, which is this. How does the Holy Spirit work? How does that Holy Spirit anointing make a difference in my life? Well, the Holy Spirit anointing comes alive when you rise up to God's call. See, when we're here at church and we're studying God's Word, we're listening to a sermon, we're singing a song, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. And three things happen. One of three things. Hopefully, one of three things if you are worshiping the Lord. One, you will be convicted by the Holy Spirit. You will realize that, oh man, maybe I have sinned. My attitude's been bad. I've been complaining too much or something like that or something. I feel convicted. I confess my sins. The second thing which should happen is that maybe you're comforted. You've been hurting. You're sad. Things haven't gone your way. You're kind of depressed. And the Holy Spirit comes upon you and says, it's okay. Your name is written in the book of life in heaven. That's what matters the most. And the Holy Spirit's presence gives you comfort. But the third thing is we are challenged. The Holy Spirit challenges us to do more, to rise up and meet a challenge. And this is really where I think the Spirit comes alive in us. The Holy Spirit comes upon us and gives us grace and wisdom in a difficult situation, or lets us overcome our fear and frustration. So the first thing we see how the Holy Spirit works is this. God equips us. God gives us what we need. The Holy Spirit is God's conduit for everything we need to obey God's will. And guess what? The Spirit just uses what we already have. He doesn't give us anything new. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. God gives us unlimited, glorious riches. God says, I give you glorious riches. I'm going to give them all to you. You know, they say that some of us only use, what, like 10% of our brain or 7%. We don't use our total brain power. Well, that's true about Christians. We don't use hardly any of God's riches and His spiritual potential that He gives us. We probably use 10% or less, and that's why we don't accomplish much for God. But see, God's riches also include the natural talents God gave you, your personality and your experiences. You know, this week we're going to play ping pong on Saturday again. And we need a few more people to come who like to play ping pong and who are better at ping pong than I am. And also, if you can speak conversational Cantonese, it would really help. You don't have to be a Cantonese expert, but if you can, you know, I mean, I'm like making sign signals to people, you know. So if you can speak conversational Cantonese and you can't play ping pong, it's still okay. We could use it because that's a natural talent. It's an experience. It's something you already have. God wants to use what you have. He doesn't want you to go learn how to be an auto mechanic or something like that before you serve Him. He uses what you have, your personality, your experiences, stuff you already know how to do. God's riches also include the spiritual gifts you have, the spiritual gifts that come alive when you become a Christian, the gifts that God has been waiting for you to open. So God gives you all these things. He wants you to use them. He has equipped us already. Then the third thing we see is God's riches include God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When I change my attitude, I know and I study God's Word. Because God's Word will teach me how to change that attitude. He'll rebuke me when I'm doing wrong. He'll correct my thinking. He'll make me right with Him because I want the righteous life. It teaches us what to do. So, see, God has already equipped us. He gives us the provision and He gives us the plan to do and fulfill all the tasks that He wants to give us. Maybe you just need to take inventory of what you have, who you are, your shape, your gifts, your personality, your abilities, your experiences, and say, God, I know You've already equipped me with these gifts. How can I use them for Your glory? So God equips us. The second way the Holy Spirit works in us is God enlightens us. God gives us the wisdom, the creativity, the insight to use the equipment He has the right way. But we need God's Word in our head and our heart to know how to use it the right way. So if you play ping pong, you play basketball, you like to go out to eat, God, how can I use these things I enjoy doing for Your purpose? John 14:26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. When the apostles stood before the Jewish courts, they remembered what Jesus said. They just repeated what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit gave them insight. When I counsel people, I am not a gifted, it is not a natural gift for me to be a counselor or to give wisdom. I'm a doer, I'm an accountant, I'm a numbers person, but God gives me the wisdom I need. Sometimes I don't know what to say, and so I have to kind of calm myself and look to the Holy Spirit to enlighten me, to remind me of the things I have studied, the things I heard in Bible study, the things that someone shared with me, the books I've read, things from the past, and I am able to give wisdom because the Holy Spirit brings it to my mind. If you don't have God's Word, if you don't have this book in your head and in your heart, if you don't know it, if you haven't memorized some scripture, if you haven't meditated on the truth, the Holy Spirit won't be able to recall anything from your mind. Understand what I'm saying? You need to have something in there. You don't need to have bullets in the gun. You have to have gasoline in the tank in order to be empowered to speak up for the Holy Spirit to give you illumination and inspiration. That's why I love writing sermons. That's why I love studying God's Word. That's why I love teaching Bible studies. Because when I do so, I'm walking around, I go to the gym, I go shopping, I'm driving, those verses are sticking in my head. Then the Holy Spirit says, oh, take that verse and say this. Make this point. And when that happens, it is powerful. It's like the Spirit comes alive and is speaking to me personally. It's a wonderful experience. So God equips us. God also enlightens us. And the third thing we see is that the way God works is God empowers us. God gives us power. See, your resources are limited. Your energy is limited. Your knowledge is limited, but God is not. He is unlimited. And with God's anointing, you have unlimited power, power to handle things better, power to endure longer, power to go further, power to live the way Christ wants you to live. See, Satan wants you to quit. He wants you to take shortcuts. He wants to just want you to lose it. But we act like Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon us when we are moving in God's direction. Very important. A lot of people say, well, I haven't felt the Holy Spirit, or I haven't experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of the times it's because they are not walking with God. They're just sitting and waiting for it. See, I've said before that you can't drive a parked car, can you? You can't go anywhere if the car is not moving. It has to be moving under power before you can start going somewhere. See, God's not going to use you if you're going nowhere in your spiritual life. But if you're worshiping God, you're walking with God, you're studying His Word, you're being obedient where God has already shown you, then when you take a step of faith, it turns on God's power. God's anointing makes difficult tasks easier. It makes difficult tasks more enjoyable. That's how you know God is with you. I teach small group almost every Wednesday night, and I prepare 4 to 5 hours for that Bible study that's 40 minutes long. And it's a lot of work, but I love it. I mean, the power of God flows through me when I'm teaching His Word. It gives me great joy. Luke 12:11. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. So the disciples are called before the Sanhedrin. Can you imagine? The Sanhedrin is the Jewish equivalent of the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And they are uneducated fishermen. They're called before these mighty men in their mighty robes, sitting on their ruling seats, looking down at you, and they had power. Now, I believe a lot of power today, the Holy Spirit power, is simply courage. Courage and encouragement and enabling us to stand up and speak up for Jesus. And they were able to remember what to say because the Holy Spirit gave it to them. They took a step of faith. They are moving with God, and God empowered them. And after they spoke the words that Christ had taught them, it says that the Jewish religious leaders noted that they had been with Jesus. Our power comes from knowing Christ, walking with Him, and being keeping those divine appointments to speak the truth and stand up for the truth. The Holy Spirit empowered them. And see, brothers and sisters, that's what we need. We need to realize that we are equipped. We have the equipment. Then we realize that we have the enlightenment, the way we're supposed to use it. We just take something and tweak it a bit and use it for God's glory. And then God, the Holy Spirit, gives us power to use it according to God's plan and purpose. Courage comes from our commitment and faith in God. Now understand this, when the Spirit comes upon us and anoints us and uses us, it doesn't mean that the person we are speaking to will change, because we have no control. It means that we are being used the way God wants us to be used. We are being used the way God designed us to be used. We need to be used by God. So what's the problem? If we know this truth that God has given us anointing, we have the equipment, we have the enlightenment, we have the power. Well, let's look at number three. Number three says we must be willing. We must be willing. Romans 6:13, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. Do you, people consciously today offer themselves as instruments of sin and wickedness? That's why we see so much evil and pain in the world today. But rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. You know, what's an instrument? Well, our worship team was using all sorts of instruments for God. Maybe you're a surgeon and you have surgical tools, or maybe you're a pharmacist and you have pharmacy tools, and I use a computer in my work. You know, God's saying, you are my instrument. Will you be willing to put yourself in my hand so I can use you? Are you willing to be an instrument of righteousness to help people become right with God? An instrument is a tool that is used to accomplish a specific task. Not too long ago, I was drilling holes in the door here at church, just for the fun of it. You know, no, I was fixing something, and I couldn't drill holes through this one door because it had a metal plate on it. And my drill would just spin and spin, and I had bought a brand new drill. It's my favorite tool now. It can go through anything, but that drill bit was not equipped. It was a wrong instrument. And so I went to Home Depot and looking for drill bits that will drill through metal, and I found them. Titanium drill bits. Woo! Titanium. Like, I can't wait to go back and drill holes. And I'll tell you, with the right tool, the right instrument, I almost went through the other side of the door. I didn't. I had self-control. But that's what an instrument's for, is to be used for its purpose. You are God's instrument for His glory, to do good, to become more like Jesus, and to serve Him. You are designed for God's purpose. But God will not use you if He senses that you are not willing to be used. You know, a lot of times, God, I just want to take a peek. You know, just open the door a little bit, and I'll see if I really want to do what you want me to do. We must be willing to serve God. We must be willing to take any assignment God gives us. That's when the Spirit controls us and changes our lives. Let's look at this slide. I showed this last week. You know, we have appointments along all these steps with people some people are uninterested in Christ. Some are friendly to Christians. Some are seeking. And we have, God says, I have appointments for you all along here. Are you willing to keep that appointment? Are you willing to be an instrument of righteousness in God's life? If you're not willing,
God is not going to call you, and you'll miss out on the joy and the blessing.
One person a while back came up to me, and, you know, a sincere worshiper of the Lord, and I see him every week, and he says, you know, I just don't feel very spiritual, and I don't feel like the Spirit is doing much inside me and stuff. And I say, okay. I say, let me ask you a question. Who are you praying for? Who are you praying for? Who are you seeking to share the gospel? When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? When was the last time you talked to someone to meet a need? Whose needs are you meeting? Are you doing good? Are you sharing the gospel? And he didn't say anything. And usually when people don't say anything, they're not doing anything. Because see, we have to be moving with God. Look at this picture. A sailboat has a sail, but the sail will not move without the wind power. And a lot of people think, well, we are the sail. We are the sail that God made us, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit, the wind, to catch us and to move us in God's direction. And then you see a glove. A glove is great, but a glove needs a hand. And so the analogy is we are the glove and the Holy Spirit is the hand of God using us and moving us. If there's no hand in that glove, it just collapses and does nothing. If a boat has no wind in its sail, it does nothing. See, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, when it flows, it doesn't really come upon us. We just unleash it. When it flows through us, when we know that we are letting Him be in control, we're meeting that divine appointment. When we share God's Word or we meet a need or we do a good deed, it is a joyful and positive and powerful experience. When you are willing to be used by God, be used by the Spirit unleashes the power and potential of God in your life. Now, the last thing I want you to think about is a lot of people, okay, I'm gonna be obedient. Well, obedience is good, but the last thing we need to know is that we have to love that person we are serving. You know, if we're just doing it because, oh, gosh, we have to, because Pastor Terry preached a whole sermon on being obedient to the Holy Spirit, that's good. Obedience is part of discipline, but we have to love that person too. And so when you're loving that person because you're loving God, and the Spirit is using you to help and bless this person, that's when you feel alive in the Holy Spirit. That's when you get the resources of God. And you don't have to do it by yourself. You know, we're doing the ping pong ministry. I'm not playing ping pong by myself. We have other people. You have a small group. You have your brothers and sisters here. You have resources here. You just have to be willing to see where God is working and then join Him there. You see a need. You see a lonely person. Someone shares what's going on in their life. The best way to share the gospel is to do good deeds. The good and faithful servant is already a good and faithful servant, so God wants to use him even more. Okay, our last thought. So we must be willing. The last thought is this. We must stay connected to the Spirit. You know, a lamp won't shine unless it's plugged into a power source or the switch is on. You cannot fill the purpose for which you were created apart from the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. Understand what I'm saying? You cannot fulfill the purpose for which you were created apart from the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you're doing nothing, you're not connected to the Spirit of God. So you stay connected to God. You don't let sin and selfishness block your heart or your head or that connection. You can't do anything without Christ. We need to be constantly refreshed by the Word and the Spirit of God for every new challenge. We cannot. The one thing frustrating about, Larry and I were talking about this the other day, the one thing frustrating about life is that we can't rest on what we did yesterday. We need fresh power every day. It comes from our quiet time and our worship and our walking with God and our encouraging each other. Every new challenge needs a fresh power from God. Anointing from the Holy Spirit cannot be stored up. You cannot handle today's problems with the anointing you received yesterday. You can't handle next year's problem with the anointing you received today. You have to stay connected to God through the Holy Spirit. Sin and selfishness will block that, but that's why we confess
our sins. In fact, every morning you wake up and you say, God, I want you to use me as an instrument of righteousness in someone's life today. And when you go to bed at night, you say, God, I may have sinned against you. I'm going to confess my sins. Or maybe you say, God, I had a wonderful day doing your will. I accomplished some of your tasks. I moved people closer to you. God, I praise your name. You have to stay connected. Brothers and sisters, I want you to ask yourself today, when was the last time God used you for His glory and for the good of others? I mean, can you think of it? An experience? Now, maybe it might be as simple as you came to small group and you laughed with your brothers and sisters, or you came to worship and you hugged someone you knew was hurting. But when was the last time God was working through you? If you can't think of anything, then the Holy Spirit is not moving your heart. You need to let the Holy Spirit drive. You need to ask God this week to use you as a vessel of hope and healing in a person's life this week. We don't just think about ourselves. If we think about ourselves, we'll just be disappointed and get depressed. We think about other people and strive to let the Spirit guide us to meet those divine appointments, and God will give you anointing. It's a choice. You have to be willing. You have to be connected. Let me ask you this. When was the last time, or do you know for sure that the Holy Spirit has sealed your salvation in Jesus Christ? You know it because you believed in Christ, you put your faith in Him, and because you know that you have eternal life. If you're not positive that you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, you are not saved. And so you need to get right with God, and we need to talk with you and help you understand what salvation means. That you have trusted in Christ as your Savior and Lord. You have been born again in the Spirit, and you are following Christ. You have been sealed again. And then we want to take you into the baptismal waters to be baptized as a testimony of your faith. So what is God saying to you today? Do you realize that, man, I need to come alive in the Spirit? Or maybe you're here today and you say, man, I need to be born again in the Spirit. Whatever God is saying to you, I want you to bow your heads now and close your eyes. And maybe take a moment to talk to God about where you are in your spiritual life. That the Holy Spirit, is He really in you and using you? Or if you know the Spirit's in you, but you've been neglectful. Father, we today just want to look at you and ask you to touch our hearts. We ask that the Holy Spirit now will enlighten our hearts and show us what needs to change. Father, maybe my brothers or sisters, the Spirit is saying, I am convicting you of an attitude or action you've been doing that you need to change and repent of. Maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm going to comfort you now. Even though things are tough, things are hard, and you're sad or disappointed, I love you, and you are mine. You belong to me. Your name is written in the book of life. Maybe the Holy Spirit today is touching one of you today. I challenge you to do more, to stand up and to speak up and to love people more. Maybe the Holy Spirit is saying to you today, believe in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit, the Spirit of God, who enlightens us and equips us and empowers us. I pray, Father, that this week we will take hold of all you give us and bring glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our invitation song. And if you've made a commitment, if you're ready to ask for prayer, whatever the need, come forward and let's pray together and talk together. Let's stand as we sing.